بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله، we've reached chapter 33 in كتاب الرقاق of صحيح البخاري, the book of heart softening narrations. And the title of this bab is باب حفظ اللسان, the chapter on safeguarding the tongue. And I would argue that if Imam al-Bukhari was alive today, he may change the chapter title to حفظ اللسان والأصابع, safeguarding the tongue and safeguarding the fingers, because it all concerns what you say. And as the ulama say, that whatever is prohibited in speech with the tongue is prohibited in writing. So if backbiting is haram to say, it's also haram to write it in a form of, in a written form. And the same applies to other forms of speech. So this has five hadith narrations, and we'll finish it tonight, this morning. He begins by saying the full title, باب حفظ اللسان وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. So the full title is comprised of a hadith and a verse. وقوله تعالى ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whosoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him say what is good or remain silent. And the words of Allah Most High, and this is in Surah Qaf, which we just heard last night, that the person does not utter a statement except in his presence is Raqibun Atid, one who is watchful and one who is recording, referring to the two angels that are observing and recording the person's actions, good and bad. The first hadith in this chapter, he says, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدْ إِبْنُ أَبِي بَكْرِ الْمُقَدَّمِ حَدَّثَنَا عُمَرْ إِبْنُ عَلِي سَمِعَ أَبَا حَازِمٍ عَنْ سَهْلِ بْنِ سَعَدْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة. This comes from Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhu. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever can guarantee what is between his two jawbones and what is between his two legs, I guarantee paradise for him. What is between the two jawbones? The tongue. And he uses the word lahyayhi, and the word for beard is lihya in Arabic. And the reason why it's lihya is because it comes from the jawbone, the jawbone connecting here. This is also the Maliki proof that this is the beard, and if the side was cut, it's not the same as cutting the beard. So whoever guarantees for me what is between the two jawbones, meaning the tongue, and what is between his legs, meaning private parts, I guarantee paradise for him. Now the ulama say that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever guarantees for me, it doesn't mean an empty promise. It means the lawazim of that dhaman, that guarantee, that you actually safeguard it, right? Whoever safeguards what is between their two jawbones and between their legs, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guarantees for that person Jannah. Now, Ibn Battal, one of the early commentators on Sahih al-Bukhari, he notes from this hadith that it indicates that these two areas are where the greatest trials are for people. The greatest trials for people tend to be in what they say and their sexual appetites. And this means that if you can guarantee that you abstain from the haram in your words and in your sexual ethics, then all that remains is the eyes, the ears, and the hand, you know, smacking someone or hurting someone or doing something like that. So this is the first hadith. The second hadith, he says, حَدَّثَنِي عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ حَدَّثَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ بْنُ سَعْدِ عَنْ إِبْنِ شِهَابٍ عَنْ أَبِي سَلَمَةَ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. So the chapter heading presents a portion of this hadith from Abu Huraira, who relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him say what is good or keep quiet. And whosoever believes in Allah in the last day, let him not hurt or injure his neighbor. And whosoever believes in Allah in the last day should entertain or honor his guest." So, of course, the relevant part of the hadith is guarding the tongue. The next hadith is similar. He says, حدثنا أبو الوليد حدثنا ليث حدثنا سعيد المقبري عن أبي شريح الخزاعي قال سمع أذناي ورعاه قلبي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الضيافة ثلاثة أيام جائزته قيل ما جائزته قال يوم وليلة ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفا ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليسكت. So this comes from Abu Shuraih al-Khuza'i. He says, "My ears heard and my heart grasped the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, 'The period for keeping one's guest is 3 days, and do not neglect his ja'iza, his reward.'" And it was asked, "What is his reward?" He said, "It is in the first night and in the day, he should be given good quality meals, right? And whoever believes in Allah in the last day should entertain his guests generously. And whosoever believes in Allah in the last day should say what is good or keep quiet." What's the difference between this hadith and the previous one? Well, besides the additional information about the guest, in the operative phrase in the hadith, the difference is in the verb. In the previous hadith, it says, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Let him say what is good or remain silent. And this one says, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ. Let him say what is good or keep quiet. Now, يَسْكُتْ, we would say in ordinary English, would be to shut up. But it's not an impolite shut up. If you tell someone uskut, it can be. But here, the difference in Arabic is that insat is when you're quiet while listening to someone else. Whereas sukut is just being quiet in a general sense. But the meaning is the same here. In the next hadith, حدثني إبراهيم ابن حمزة حدثني ابن أبي حازم عن يزيد عن محمد ابن إبراهيم عن عيسى ابن طلحة التيمي عن أبي هريرة سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن العبد لا يتكلم بالكلمة ما يتبين فيها يزل بها في النار أبعد مما بين المشرق. Abu Huraira relates that he heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, "A servant of Allah may utter a word without thinking whether it is right or wrong." Without thinking whether it is right or wrong, ما يتبين فيها. There's some meaning here. And he may slip into the fire as a result, as far as the distance equal to that which is between the east. So here, and there's other narrations, some say 70 خريفة, 70 autumns, so 70 years. Some say between the east and the west, meaning a vast distance, a person sinks into hell as a result of some word they say, that as he describes, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma yatabayyanu fiha, right? And here it's translated as the person isn't thinking about whether it's right or wrong. Ma yatabayyanu fiha, Ibn Hajar, he comments on this phrase, and he says, قوله ما يتبين فيها أي لا يتطلب معناها أي لا يثبتها بفكره ولا يتأملها حتى يتثبت فيها فلا يقولها إلا إن ظهرت المصلحة في القول. He says what it means is this person is basically uttering things mindlessly. They're just saying stuff. And we have a name for that in English. We call that, or we call those people, the chattering classes. There's an old piece written by C.S. Lewis, the English playwright and author, called The Chattering Classes, where he talks about this tendency of people to just yap and yap and yap about this and that and everyone's business and what's going on and without any understanding of what's really going on, just talking for the sake of talking and not verifying the meaning of what they say or the significance and so on. So he says that what this means is one shouldn't speak unless they're clear that there's a benefit in actually saying it. There's an actual maslaha in saying it. So this is one interpretation. Ibn Hajar expands it, makes it general, says there's no benefit and it's just chattering. According to Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr, there's a more restrictive meaning to this. Al-Hafidh Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah, the great Maliki scholar of hadith and fiqh, he says the word that is uttered that causes a person to sink deep into the hellfire, he says, al-kalima allati yahwi sahibuha bisababiha fi an-nar hiya allati yaquluha 'inda sultanin ja'ir. He says that is the word that someone says when they're in the presence of an oppressive ruler. So basically they're just saying whatever the ruler will be happy to hear. They say falsehood just to please the ruler, the person in charge. So this is what he mentions. Ibn Battal adds to this by saying, بِالْبَغْيِ أَوْ بِسَعِي عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ فَتَكُونُ سَبَبًا لِهَلَاكِهِ. Meaning this person says something to the ruler that causes the ruler to do something that causes harm to other people, particularly to a Muslim. The next hadith, he says, حَدَّثَنِي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِبْنُ مُنِيرٍ سَمِعَ أَبَا النَّضَرِ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِبْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ يَعْنِي إِبْنَ الدِّينَارِ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ أَبِي صَالِحٍ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يرفع الله بها درجات وإن العبد ليتكلم بالكلمة من سخط الله لا يلقي لها بالا يهوي بها في جهنم. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates in this final hadith in the chapter, a servant of Allah may utter a word which pleases Allah without giving it much importance. They're not thinking about it, but it's a good word. And because of that, Allah will raise that person in degrees in the hereafter. And a servant may utter a word carelessly, which displeases Allah without thinking of its gravity. And because of that, he will be cast into the hellfire. And Ibn Hajar, he comments on this by saying, the statement, لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالَ, he doesn't give it any importance or think about it. He says, لا يتأملها بخاطره ولا يتفكر في عاقبتها ولا يظن أنها تؤثر شيئا. He says, this means that he doesn't think about its consequence or what will it lead to, nor does he think it will have much impact, right? How many times have we said something, you know? You say something to someone and you don't think about the impact, but you realize it actually left an impact. Right, good or bad, subhanAllah, sometimes this happens, right? It could be an innocent comment you make, you're not thinking about it, but it actually hurts someone's feelings. And you don't find out about it until later, and you're thinking, subhanAllah, I was just talking, I didn't even mean to hurt someone's feelings, but it did. Or you say a kind word to someone, and it uplifts their day, you weren't thinking about it, but it really helped them and benefited them. It's very similar. So Ibn Hajar concludes by saying that these hadith, these last two hadith, are actually reflections of one of the verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. Right, in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the chattering among some of the Sahaba about the rumors that were being spread about Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And he mentions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think that it is light or easy or minuscule, of little significance. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. But in the sight of Allah, it is great. And great here means not great in a good sense. It means great as in grievous, right? So this means that if we can save things that hurt someone or uplift someone, and we don't even think about it, it means that we have to be mindful of what we say, how we say it, and the impact it leaves. There's an intimate connection here between fasting in Ramadan and the tongue, right? We fast from food and drink, obviously, but we see hadith narrations indicating the connection between fasting and controlling the tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the one who doesn't leave qawl az-zur wal amal bih, this false statement or slanderous statements, and acting according to them, Allah has no need of them leaving their food and drink. So you see the link between fasting and controlling the tongue. And one could reasonably argue that, you know, especially, you get used to fasting, right? You know, first day or two, maybe the first week, you know, your body's adjusting to it. But after the first week, you kind of get used to it. You function, right? It becomes easy. But what never becomes easy, unless you train yourself, is controlling the tongue. And perhaps controlling the tongue is the hardest aspect of Ramadan, much harder than controlling the intake of food and drink. You just stop eating, you just stop drinking, you just don't have it. Because you either do or you don't eat or drink in Ramadan. And you're not eating or drinking. But while you're fasting, you still have to speak. You still have to talk to people. So how often do we fast in the limited shar'i sense of what is valid, right? You know, sawm sahih, maqbool, that you stay away from food and drink, but the tongue is wagging and chattering, and we're saying things, we're typing things that have a consequence that comes later on. We don't give it much mind, but it has an impact, not only on our hereafter, but even on the quality of our fasting. So this is the lifelong struggle to control the tongue, right? Wa ukhatibu nafsi. I address myself in this as well, because this is not something that is easy for most people, especially in this day and age, when it's not just verbal communication, right? You could make the argument that the majority of backbiting is no longer with the tongue, because everyone's online, everyone's on their phone. The majority of backbiting and slander and these things today may be what is typed by our fingers. And everything in these hadith apply to what we type and what we write, just as it applies to what we say with our tongue. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.